The following is a conversation between His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and a group of professors, recorded June 24, 1975, in Los Angeles.
If you take care of the circumstances, that is being done by the cats and dogs and hogs, everyone. Where to find sex, where to find a shelter for sleeping, and how to defend. These circumstances are understood by the animals. There is no need of education. Just like this morning I pointed out, the bird is catching a small fish, but he knows where to find out, is it a... And that you cannot do. You also eat fish, but you jump over and take a fish. You cannot do that. But he can do that. He's more expert than you. Yes. In the troubled water, he is flying, he can see a small fish and immediately pick it. Can you do that? He is more advanced in civilization. He knows his techniques. He is a greater scientist than you. You cannot do this. A vulture goes 7 miles up and he can see where is a dead body. So even amongst the animals, there are many expert scientists than our so-called scientists. But what that science will help? That science may help how to eat, how to sleep, how to have sex, that's all. And that is being done by the animals. It doesn't require any advanced scientific. Real scientific knowledge, he is who is God. That is meant for human beings. Not this, what to find out a priest, very expert. That is being done by God. Where is the use of scientists and philosophers? Therefore, in the Vedanta Sutra, the indication is there that now you have got this human form of life, find out where is God. That is real science. That we have set aside. That we do not touch. That we have left to the sentimentalist. Why does the scientist do not take up this work very seriously? If there is God, where he is? Who is God? That is Krishna consciousness moment. Dhāta brahma jigyāsa. So you are all learned scholars. You join this movement and help us. To keep people in darkness, that is not advancement of education. And education does not mean how to find out a fish expertly. And that is being done by the birds. Education means to solve the problem of life. And what is the real problem? Birth, death, old age and disease. That is the real problem. So where is the remedy for this birth, death, old age and disease? That is the instruction in the Bhagavad Gita. Janma mittu jarabhyadi dukkha dhushanu darsu. We are trying, our struggle for existence means we are trying to mitigate, how to avoid distress. We want happiness. And Krishna presents then here is your distress, that you have to die. What you have done for this? Here is your little real distress. He might have taken your birth in a rich American nationality, you might have very good skyscraper building and very, very nice motor cars, but you will be kicked out at any moment, sir. What you have done for this? That will you be insured for all this enjoyment. Where is that insurance? You are so busy in these affairs, but where is your insurance that you will be allowed to enjoy this? This is intelligence. You will be kicked out at any moment. Then all your labor is spoiled. Therefore, Krishna presents this problem first. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarsha. We are looking after happiness, but we must find out where is permanent happiness. That is intelligence. Not that I created a circumstance where I am happy for some years and then get kicked out. Why don't you test this problem first? Then you are scientist, then you are philosopher. I saw you sometimes in Detroit.
I interviewed you several years ago.
This is Dr. John Orr. He is the chairman of the religion department at the University of Southern California. And he has written a few books called The Radical Suburb and Ethical Choice. And he's his academic interest is in ethics and religion and culture, education and public policy. And this is Dr. Crossley back here, also from the University of Southern California. He has a doctor of theology, and he is interested in modern theology. He's written many articles on modern theologians.
Now, why modern theology? Is God modern?
No, but one can't do all theology.
Huh?
One can't do every theologian.
No. Theo means God, is it not?
Yes.
And theology means science of God. So, what is that science? You're trying to understand God, or you know God, you're going to abide by God's dictation. First of all, two things. You do not know God. You are trying to find out God. I think this is not theology, it is theosophy. Those who are trying to find out God by speculation, they are theosophists. And theologist means one who knows God and abides by His order. Just like we know government and we accept the government's law and abide by it. That is good citizenship. And those who have no government, they're trying to find out some good system of government. And that is another thing. So what is your position? You know God, or you are trying to find out God? What is the theologian's position? That is my question.
It's both.
No, some, both cannot be.
Some Sikh?
No, both cannot be. That is illogical. If you know God, there is no use of finding God. You know already who is God.
Is knowing the end of seeking?
Yes. You abide by His law, that's all. You know your father, abide by His law, that's all. Whatever father says, you abide by. And if you do know who is your father, that is very difficult job. How do you find your father? By research? Do you find your father by research work? That is my question. Is it possible to find my father by research work? What is the answer?
I think you know your father. You know who he is.
How I know?
Because you see him, you talk to him.
But what is the proof that he is my father? I see so many gentlemen. How I know who is my father?
He tells you.
Huh?
He tells you, you're his son.
That means you accept anyone as God. He tells that I am God.
No, but I accept anyone as father who tells me that I am his son, because only one has ever told me that.
No, that is not the way. Everyone will say, I am your father. He'll accept. Everyone will say, I am your father. Will you accept everyone as your father? And how do you accept the bona fide father?
Foster fathers very often say that they are the real foster fathers. Very often tell their foster children that they are the real fathers.
We are not talking of foster, we are talking of real father. How do you know your real father?
You've grown up with him. You've known him since you were a little child. It's part of your consciousness.
So if my consciousness is not right, then I may select the wrong father.
Because you know he's your father, there's still more to know about him. There's more and more to understand.
The very simple answer is, when the mother certifies, he's your father. That's all. You don't have to make research. That is futile. By research, you cannot understand who is your real father. He can understand your real father only by the certificate of your mother. Therefore, our Vedic mantra says that religion and God cannot be manufactured by speculation. Achintya khaludeya bhava ratastarkena jujayat. Just like this example, father. Father was existing before my birth. So after my birth, with limited knowledge I make research, who is my father? You'll never find your father. But if you take the certificate of your father, that is good. Similarly, achintya khaludeya bhava, things which are beyond our conception, that cannot be established simply by argument, logic, so-called science and philosophy. That is not the same. The same example. By argument, logic, science, philosophy, we cannot ascertain who is your power. The only simple method and authorized method is to ask mother, and if she says yes, he is. Similarly, things which are beyond our conception, simply argument will be useless. Achintya khaludeya bhava ratastarkena jujayat. Tarka means argument. And another place it is said, tarka, argument, is futile. Tarka apratishtha. By argument you cannot come to the right conclusion. You can argue in a way, I can argue in a better way, or he can argue in a better way. That is not the system. That will not happen. Tarka apratishtha. Sutayo vibhinna. If you study scriptures, so in the world there are many varieties of scriptures. There is Bible, there is Bhagavad Gita, there is Quran, there is so on. So, which one is correct? That also you cannot decide. Sutayo vibhinna. Naso munijasya matam na bhinna. And if you consult philosophers, a scientist, every scientist, every philosopher differs from the other. Otherwise he cannot become a big scientist. He must give a different view, then he is a big scientist. So, naso munijasya matam na bhinna. Then, where is the way to understand? The conclusion is, Mahajana jina gatasya pantha. Mahajan, great personalities, recognized Acharya, what they say, you follow. That is the best system. So anyone who is speaking about God with authority, take for example, Jesus Christ, he is speaking in the Western world, you accept him. We Indians, we accept Chaitanya or Ramanujaja, Buddhajaja. That is the way. That is the way. Because these acharyas, these authorities, they are speaking about God. None of them is speaking that you become happy here. No. None of them. Either Christ or Chaitanya or Muhammad. Nobody. So according to the time, circumstances, position, either you follow any one of them as it suits you, or if you can make a comparative study, you follow the best one. So therefore our conclusion is Krishna is the best. He is God. Christ is Son of God. So we don't differ Son of God and God, that is all right. But when the Father is speaking personally, he is speaking what the Son has spoken, plus something. Because he is more experienced. So take the Father and follow the Father. Muhammad says he is servant of God. Christ says he is Son of God. And Krishna says, I am God. So where is the difference? The Son will say the same thing, the servant will say the same thing, and the Father also will say the same thing. So theology means to know God and abide by God. That is my understanding. Theology does not mean to make research who is God. That is theosophy. So if you are theologians, then you must know what is God and abide by God. What do you think, Dr. Judah?
Pardon?
What do you think, this proposition?
Yes, well, I think you're quite right. I think that it is certainly in our day and age, many of us don't really know God.
Then he's not theologist. He tears up.
We know about God, but we do not know God. I would agree.
That is theosophy. Theosophy is they're thinking there is something superior. But who is that superior? That's Sahaja. The same thing. A boy, he knows I have a father. But who is my father? Is that it? That you have to ask the father. Alone he cannot answer. So our proposition is that if you do not know God, and here is God, Krishna, why don't you accept it? You do not know, first of all. And if I present here is God, then why don't you accept it? What is the answer? We are presenting God, here is God. And big acharyas have accepted. Ramanucharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Lord Chaitanya, and our disciple succession, my Guru Maharaj, and I am preaching, this is God. I am not presenting a God musical. I am presenting a God who is recognized. So why don't you accept? That is difficult.
I suppose one of the difficulties for certainly many in the older generation is that we follow certain patterns of life, and it is difficult to change. This is the great problem.
That's what Krishna said. Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sat. You have to give up.
That's right.
If you are not prepared to give up, then you cannot accept God.
I think you're being a little unfair to Dr. Crossley. I think what you say is true, that the most important thing we can do is to seek and know God. But I don't think it's right to say that it's a bad thing to study how other people or how man has thought.
No, I don't say bad thing.
Yeah.
I say if you're serious about God, now, here is God.
That's what a university, in part, is for, to study about how people have thought on different matters.
If you are seeking after something, if you get that something, why don't you accept?
Do you believe that Christ said that Krishna was his father?
The name may be different. It's like in our country, we say something.
Mm-hmm.
But subject matter must be the same. Name is not. You can say any different as you understand. The God is one. God cannot be two. You may give him different names, that is different. But God is one. God cannot be two.
We may assume, Srila Prabhupada, that God has innumerable names.
Yeah.
And most of them not known to us. If we can say most about innumerable.
Can you know from us? We can Vishnu Sahasrana. that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, Nam Nam Kari Bahuda Nijasatva Shakti. Nam, the Nam and the person, name and the person. There are many, hundreds and thousands of names, and each name is as good as the person. Because it is absolute. There is no difference between the person and the person's name.
If God is known by many different names, though, is it not possible then to know God then in many different ways, in many different traditions?
No. That you are the same person, either as professor in the university or at home before your wife, you are the same person. Your wife may address you in a different name, and the students may address you in a different name, but you are the same person. If the person is the same, the difference of name does not change the circumstances.
But there are many aspects of God. But there are many aspects of God, of Krishna.
Yes, the aspects have been summarized, that God is realized in three aspects. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Sarva. Impersonal Brahma, localized Paramatma, and personality of God. Just like this sun sign is also sun. But you cannot say that you are in sun. Can you say that? But you are sun sign. The sun sign is not different from the sun. Similarly, in the absolute truth, the first realization is Brahma, and the next realization is Paramatma, and the ultimate realization is Bhagavan. The subject matter is the same, but according to the degree of advancement, the realization is personal. The subject matter is the same. Now you can study the sun sign, but it is not in your power to go to the sun planet and study what is actually. But because it is not in your power, it does not mean that sun planet is great. You cannot go there, it is not in your power. You can simply study the sun sign. But that does not mean the sun globe is false, or there is no subject matter of study. You cannot go there.
In that illustration, is Krishna the sunshine, or is Krishna
is
the sun?
Krishna is a person. God is ultimately a person. And then, by his another potency, he is situated everywhere. Annantarastham paramanucha. He is situated within the atom. That is called Paramatma, super soul. And he is situated in his impersonal. The whole material creation or any creation. The example is given just like fire. Fire is one place, but its heat and light is expanded to miles, just like the sun. It is a fire light. But heat and light is expanded throughout the universe. So similarly, God is one, and his energy is expanded everywhere. You can understand him by his energy. Just like the government, the president, is not here, but still we are under government. Who can deny that I am not under? If you say, I do not see who is president, what is the government? That is not argument. You are. Simply, you have to make your eyes to see how you are under Krishna. That is it. But you are already.
But then God in His essence is Atman Brahman, not Krishna. Is that what you're saying?
God is three. I have already given you the example. The sun shines and sun glow, and the deity within the sun glow. They are all one. It's still that difference.
And we as human beings, are we part of that
human
too?
Human beings, plants, everyone. We are part and parcel of God.
And how is Krishna different from us?
He's not different. Because we cannot realize him, we are thinking he's different from us. That is Maya. That's like father and son, they're not different. But the son, out of his foolishness, is thinking father is different from him.
Wouldn't you say, though, that in the case of us, that we are, as it were, jiva shakti, we are a marginal energy, and so we do have, as it were, that aspect of Krishna, but we also have in this world, then, the Maya Shakti, we are the combination.
Everyone is, that is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Find out this verse. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagat abhakta mohitina mastani sarvabhutani nahang teshu avastita. Maya tatamidam sarvam.
Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matstani sarva bhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them.
But ultimately, there is no difference between Krishna's energy and Krishna. Wherever there is energy, it's like electricity. Everywhere there is. If you are a spark, you can generate electricity from anywhere.
Is it possible to find Krishna in the Christian tradition or in Islam?
Oh, yeah. Christians are seeking after God. You are going to the church. Oh God, you accept. God has created everything. Yet also He says, everything is my energy. Where is the difference?
Christians describe Krishna in a different way. Are they making mistakes?
It's like the heat. The question of energy. The heat, 93 million miles away from the sun, heat may be different, and in the sun globe the heat may be different, but the heat is there. Light is there, the same thing. Heat and light is the same, but the degree of presentation of heat and light may be different.
Is chanting absolutely necessary in the
knowing? That is the easiest way of being directly in touch with God. Because God and God is God's name is absolute. So you are chanting the name of God means that in directly in touch with God.
Why is that better than loving your fellow man and traditional bhakti marga?
But you love your fellow man, but you don't love your fellow animal. You love man, but you send the animals to the slaughterhouse. That is your love.
And the soldiers into the battle.
Huh?
And the soldiers into the battle to be killed.
Yeah, now first of all, study this man, then you go to soldiers. Our love is limited. But if you love, just like this tree, there are many thousand leaves and flowers. So if you water to each of them, then it will occupy the whole your life. And if you are intelligent, just put water into the root. It will go away. And if you are not intelligent, go on putting water every leaf, every leaf. Your whole body requires food. That does not mean you have to supply food to the ears, to the eyes, to the nails, to the rectum, to the... No. Give food to the stomach. It will be distinct. Krishna says, maya tadadam sadvam, that you have already studied. So if you love Krishna, then your love will be distinct. If you don't love Krishna, and if you love somebody else, then somebody will cry that you do not love me.
May I ask you a question?
First of all, try to understand this.
Just like
Krishna says, Maya Tatamidam Sattvam. I am expanded by my energy everywhere. So, everywhere how you can go? You love Krishna, and your love will go everywhere. You pay tax to the government, and the tax is distributed in so many departments. So it is not your business to go every department and pay tax. Pay to the treasury of the government, it will be distributed. This is intelligence. And if you say that why shall I pay to the treasury house? I shall pay to this department, that department, that department, that department. You can go on. But it will never be sufficient. Neither complete. So you may love humanity, but because you do not love Krishna, therefore do not love the cows, the sentence, etc. So your love will remain defective. It will never be complete. And if you love Krishna, then you love him, the small ant. He'll not interested in to kill him with an ant. That is real love.
I agree with you that we love very badly and we slaughter the animals.
So badly love is not love.
But is the converse true, that we chant very well and that we can love Krishna even when we cannot love our fellow people?
Chanting, you are also working. It is not that. You are simply sitting down and chanting. Because you are chanting, therefore you are loving everyone. That's a fact. These Hare Krishna chanters, they never agree to kill any animal, even a plant, because they know everything is part and parcel of God. Why unnecessarily one should be killed? That is love.
Love means never killing?
There are so many things. It is one of the items. Yes? Do you kill your own son? Why? Because you love him.
Would you explain?
explain the other side of it. The fact that, of course, the Bhagavad Gita has its setting on a battlefield in which Krishna enjoins Arjuna to go out and fight his kinsmen because it is his duty as a kshatriya.
Yeah. Because in the material world, for the maintenance of equilibrium of the society, sometimes killing is necessary. It's like fight, war. When the enemy has come to your country, you cannot see that you must fight. That doesn't mean that you are allowed to kill everyone as you like. That is, in special circumstances, when fighting must be done. Therefore the Kshatriyas are required to give protection. That the government is keeping military, police, soldiers. That does not mean government is after killing only. That department will be utilized when that is necessary. Not that government is meant for killing. Government has other departments also. But this is also maintained. If there is necessity, it should be utilized. But Krishna, when he is on the battlefield, that was a necessity. He has got two business. Paritranaya sadhuna vinashaya sa duskita. Those are demons. Those are disturbing elements. They should be killed. And those who are honest and peaceful, they should be maintained. And because it is material world, the world of duality, they are good and evil. So you have to cut down the evil. Sometimes force is required. That killing is not there. When the enemy is aggressive and you are killing, that killing and poor animal who is supplying milk, you are drinking milk, your mother, and you are killing. This killing and that killing is not the same thing. According to Vedic civilization, the cow is to be given special protection. Why? It is recommended for the cow. It does not say of other animals. And animal killing is required according to the Vedic civilization. Those who are meat eaters, they are allowed to kill some insignificant animal, like deer, goat, pigs. It is for the animal eaters, not for all. But if one is bent upon, and there are persons, they want meat eating. So for them, these unimportant animals are recommended. But cow is very important. He gets from his milk so many nutritious food. So apart from religious sentiment, from economic point of view, cow killing is not good. And from moral point of view, it is not good. Because you drink cow's milk, the cow is your mother. According to Vedic civilization, there are seven mothers. Adau Mata Guru Patani Brahmani Rajapatrika Dhenu Dhatri Tatha Prithi Sapta Eti Matarishmita. Adau Mata, real mother. And Guru Patani, the wife of Guru, a teacher. She is also mother. The teacher is father. Adho Mata Guru Pratini. Brahmani, the wife of a Brahmana. She is mother. Adho Mata Guru Pratini. Rajapatnika, the queen, the wife of the king. She is mother. And then cow is mother, because we are drinking and milk. Adho Mata Guru Pratini, Brahmani, Rajapatnika, then Dhatri, nurse. Nurse is also mother, because you suck the breast of the mother as nurse. Therefore, according to Vedic civilization, there are 7 mothers. So you cannot kill your mother. That is not very good philosophy. And who can deny the cow is not mother? Who has got this audacity? You are drinking milk in the very morning. Christ says, thou shalt not kill. Wholesale killings come. And the Vedic literature is little liberal. It does not say, thou shalt not kill. But you shall not kill at least cow. But if wholesale starve is not possible. The Vedic wisdom knows that. But you shall not kill at least cow. That is civilization. Christians are maintaining thousands of slaughterhouses. Is that a very good proposal?
Are you saying that you should never kill a cow, but that you sometimes can kill a person?
When you can give life. There is sometimes cow sacrifice yoga. The cow sacrifice yoga means an old cow he sacrificed in the fire, and by Vedic hymns he is given again new life. To test the potency of the Vedic mantra, an old cow he sacrifice, and by mantra is given again new life. Not for killing and eating. That was discussed between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chant Gazi, Mahavadar Magistrate. The Gazi was challenged by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are killing cow and goats. What is your religion? You are killing your father and mother. Then he also was learned man. He said that in your Vedas, the cow sacrifice yoga is there. Then he explained, this sacrifice is not for eating. It is giving a new life to test the Vedic one. That is discussed in Chaitanya Chaitanya. That is a different case. For meat eating, a cow should not be killed. This is not very good civilization. If you are, you must eat meat, then that you can kill other animals. The Khatriyas, they are sometimes going to the forest, killing the deer. They are allowed. Because they have to learn how to kill. So by killing animals, they used to practice just like doctors, medical practitioners. They first of all fly their knife on the dead body and find out where are the nerves, what are the... Not the living man. When they are fully practiced, then they are allowed to practice surgical operations.
Similarly, Kshatriyas are meant for sometimes killing, just like Arjuna. He's a Kshatriya. So Krishna is criticizing him that you are a Kshatriya. You have learned how to kill, and now you are hesitating. What is it now? So Kshatriyas are taught that they are rule over. So he required the demon and the culprit to be immediately cut off his head. Duty of the government. So all of a sudden you cannot do that. Just like in your country, a young man has never learned how to kill and he's drawn in the death boat. Come on, go and kill. What he'll do? He'll hesitate. This is not part of the system. If you want a Kshatriya, you must train that. He must train a class of men as Brahman. He must train a class of men as Kshatriya. A class of men as agriculture and cow protection and balance of work. That is Chaturvarna. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. The Kshatriya, the president and the secretary, they are sitting very comfortably at our home, and some poor young man, come on, go and fight. What is it? What they'll fight? They'll die there. If he does not know how to fight, that energy is lacking, what he'll do there?
You seem to be saying in several of your illustrations that to try to love is too much, but at least we can chant. To try to have a prohibition against killing is too much. Look what happens. We slaughter the animals. But to have a specific prohibition against killing a cow, that we can have. In other words, I hear you talking about a specific discipline that people can actually accomplish. Not kill a cow, chant.
Yes, the Brahmanas.
But every religion has that. Jews keep kosher.
It is, apart from religion, it is social bhakti. It has nothing to do with the religion, but it helps religion.
I guess what I really want to know is, does it matter what the specific thing is, like not killing a cow, or like chanting, or are there many specific things that people can do for love of God and for discipline that will serve the same purpose?
The only specific thing is, you chant, then other things will automatically be revealed.
So chanting is necessary?
Yes, absolutely.
Nothing else will do as well?
No. Because at the present moment, they are not practical. Suppose the meditation, it is not practical.
Meditation is not practical?
No.
Srila Prabhupada, in our age, that is in the Kali Yuga, it is not.
Yeah. That is not practical. And it is practical. Even a small child can chant. You see every day the small child is chanting and dancing without any training.
Srila Prabhupada, the reason that meditation is not feasible now is because we are too much distracted in this age.
Mind you. I'll meditate on my office work. When I close my eyes, I shall sleep. I've seen it. I've seen it. old ladies meditate. Meditation is described in Vedic. Jnanava sthita tat gatena manasa paschanti jang yoga. Mind is fully absorbed in God and His saying, the Supreme Lord within His heart. That is meditation. Not snoring. In fact, but if you chant Hare Krishna, immediately you can join, immediately. Oh. Even the child is there. And this is practice. And that is the command. Kalau dosani dehi rajan asti jiko mahan guna kitanai deva krishna sa mukta sangha paranga. That is the commanded by Sukadeva Goswami. That I have described so many faults of this age of Kali. But there is one very biggest gain. What is that? That simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one becomes free from all material bondage. This is the special advantage of this age.
Could it be called the true yoga of our time?
Yeah. It is bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga begins with chanting. Savanam kirtanam Vishnu. The more you chant and hear, you become purified. I think you leaders of your country, you should take this moment very seriously and take it forward, accept it. It is not difficult. Chant. You can chant in school, you can chant in college, you can chant in the factory, you can chant on the street. There is no special qualification required. But if we introduce this chanting, it will be beneficial. Great. There is no loss, but there is great gain.
Srila Prabhupada, you are aware that they advance the argument of mesmerization against chanting.
That's good. That's good. If you can mesmerize, that is, Dr. Judas admitted, that you can mesmerize the drug addicted hippies and engage them in understanding Krishna. It's a great achievement.
It's not mesmerization.
Whatever it may be, Dr. Judah has admitted. So, if mesmerization is for good, why not accept it? If it is for bad, then it is an error. If it is doing good, why not accept it? What do you think?
I don't know how to react. I think I agree with you.
Everything good should be accepted.